1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I'll say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow now, is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast. With host Eddie Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to the latest Eddie Trunk Podcast, coming your way every Thursday. Totally free wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss an episode, bringing you news-making interviews with some of the biggest names in rock and metal. And as I tell you each and every week, every interview you hear on this podcast happened live on my radio show, Trunk Nation, which is heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Faction Talk. That's Sirius XM Channel 103. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you can also listen to the show anytime you want on demand. There's audio, video, all sorts of great content up there. Here on the podcast, I give you a tiny taste of what I do 5 days a week live on the radio on SiriusXM. So if you're in the U.S. or Canada, please join me and become a subscriber. And if you're outside of the U.S. or Canada where you can't subscribe to SiriusXM, this podcast is another great way to give you a little taste of some of the interviews and some of the stuff I do on the radio on a daily basis. We have two interviews for you this week. Coming up a little bit later on, Jeff Keith of Tesla, one of my favorite people, one of my favorite bands. Jeff called in on what was his birthday a couple weeks ago to the radio show, and we'll get into that in a second. But first up, Luke Spiller, lead singer of The Struts. For the last 5 years or so, I have been singing the praises of The Struts and of Luke, because I believe he's one of the great hopes that we have for a true rock star in today's music world. He walks it, he talks it, he looks it, wears capes, you know? So Luke, I'm a big fan of the band, you know, and I love what they do. And he's been a friend now for a little bit. And I reached out to him to come on the air because there's been a lot going on with the Struts. New record deal, new single. Luke recently played at the Taylor Hawkins tribute show in England, fronting Queen. And when you hear the interview, you'll realize maybe more of that is coming. And also was supposed to front a band with Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee at the Taylor tribute in LA. But as you're about to hear, he got COVID and couldn't do it. He's also about to do a performance with David Bowie's Piano Player in LA. A lot going on with Luke. Been a while since we caught up. Here's how that conversation went on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Luke.
Hello, Eddie.
How are you, my friend? How have you been? How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. I'm actually currently in the studio at the moment, working on album number 4. So life is great.
You know, I ask how you're feeling because we were going to have you on and you had to cancel because you were about to go into rehearsals for the second Taylor Hawkins tribute. And then turns out you ended up getting COVID, right?
Yeah, it was a really big, big stroke of like extremely bad luck. I basically had 4 shows just before the rehearsal. And yeah, Kel Surprise, I must have picked it up on one of the Struts' four gigs that we were playing, and I was devastated. I was devastated I couldn't be there, and you know, I was devastated that I couldn't you know, partake in the show. But I had a lot of lovely messages and calls from people, you know, wishing me well and hoping that I would make a speedy recovery. But at the end of the day, I was just happy and lucky enough to be involved with the Wembley show, you know?
Well, I want to talk about that in a second. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you about what you were going to, for the L.A. Taylor tribute, you were going to perform with Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee and do Motley Crue songs, right?
Yeah, I was. And yeah, I was going to do Livewire and Home Sweet Home, which I was really bummed about. You know, I was sort of dying to sort of like get a little bit more involved in the performance as a whole. But yeah, and the worst thing was I was actually the Foo Fighters kind of headquarters leading up to the show before I broke away to do these Struts gigs. And Tommy was there. Nikki couldn't make it, but it was great to sort of like hang with Tommy. And we were playing these songs and they sounded really, really good. But, you know, it just, I don't know, maybe it just wasn't meant to be, you know?
Well, I was going to ask you, how far along did you get? So you did run through them in a rehearsal. And then how far before the actual event did you get hit with COVID?
I must have got it probably about five days or so before the actual show date. And I was flying. We were doing a lot of flying and everything, like to and from these different cities. We didn't have like a bus or anything. So I must have just got it at the airport or on the plane. But the most frustrating thing was that like I felt absolutely fine. And that's kind of the worst thing ever. You know what I mean?
Well, how did you know you had it then if you felt fine? Did you have to go through some sort of routine testing?
Yeah, so 2 days before the actual sound check, I had a message saying, hey, you know, we're all going to be doing PCR tests. So I was like, yeah, fine, no problem. Obviously, I was in transit, like constantly. So I had to do it the day of the sound check, the day before the actual show itself, and which was actually my birthday. So, you know, sort of midday, I quickly get like a rapid PCR test that gives you the results about 40 minutes later. And I'm waiting in my, at my place. And I know that there's a car coming to collect me, to take me down to the show, to the rehearsals. And my manager calls me up and he's like, Luke, I don't know how to tell you this, but you've come back positive. And I was like, serious? So then I ordered like a bunch of the home test kits via like Postmates. And yeah, just one after the next. I think I did three in a row and they all came back positive. So I was just like, oh, you know, just devastated.
Had you had it before, Luke? Did you ever have it before that you're aware of?
Yeah, this is like my second time. And every time I've got COVID, it's always been at a really, really frustrating time. I mean, obviously, it's frustrating to get it anyway. But the first time I got it was actually on the way to get my third jab, the booster jab. I used the bathroom at like the they converted like a gymnasium in the UK to where they were giving everyone the booster jab. And then I came home and I thought, oh, you know, the side effect from the booster, I thought, okay, that's pretty bad. But it didn't leave for 2 or 3 days after. I got COVID while getting my booster. And then second time round, I get it on my birthday before one of the most important shows I've ever played. So, Yeah, things can only get better from here, I guess, you know?
Well, you've had it a couple times. You got to be in the clear now for a while, I would think. I would hope that would be the case. So I want to go to the show that you did play for the Taylor Hawkins tribute. And, of course, I know you had and you still do have a close connection with the Foo Fighters camp. The Struts open many shows for the Foos, and the loss of Taylor, we're all still feeling that. Just a wonderful person, a musician, friend to all of us, of course, and just still tragic to think that he's gone. But you had an amazing moment there at Wembley in your home country, singing with one of your all-time hero bands and performing with Queen at that show at Wembley, which, of course, everybody saw the streaming telecast of it. Take me through that experience for you, knowing you and knowing what a Queen fan you are and how that all came together and what it was like performing with Roger and Brian up there.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to sort of like rewind a little bit, the last time I was with Taylor was earlier on in the year, and I was at his place with the rest of like the Chevy Metal gang, and we were planning to sort of go out when Taylor wasn't busy with the Foos and I wasn't doing things with the Struts, and we were going to go out and just basically kind of like do a lot more shows together, and a lot of the set would have been, you know, a lot of Queen for obvious reasons, you know. And yeah, and then of course, like, I got the news, and, you know, was absolutely like devastated. And, you know, and fast forward a couple of weeks, or like a month or so, I was in Italy, and I get a call from Pat Smear, and he just kind of in short just said, "Hey, we're going to be putting on this big tribute show. We'd love for you to be a part of it. I know that you and Taylor were planning on taking like a bunch of Queen covers out on the road. How would you like to play some Queen songs at Wembley Stadium?" And I was like, "Yes, yes, yes, absolutely. I'll drop everything to be there." And he said, "You know what? Like, Brian and Roger, like, also like live close by. There's a big chance that you might be able to actually perform some Queen with them." And I was like, I mean, I said, "Pat, like, whatever you want me to do, if you want me to sing one verse or one line, like, I don't care. Like, I'd love to be involved in any way I can." And yeah, and then fast forward, I'm sort of rehearsing a couple of Queen tracks, like with the Foos themselves, and it's sounding amazing. And then, of course, we all flew to London and stayed at this incredible hotel for, like, you know, for about a week or so leading up to the Wembley show. And that was just like incredible. Like, all of the Americans who were playing the show itself were all staying at the same hotel, and it was kind of like a giant rock and roll cruise, if that makes any sense, because we were all hanging out, we were all having dinners, we were all partying with each other, and we all sort of really bonded and shared some like amazing stories. And a couple of days before the show itself, I was set to go to Olympic Studios in London to rehearse with the Foo Fighters and Brian and Roger. And I didn't think I was going to get nervous. You know, nothing really gets me in terms of like performance and whatnot. But as soon as I entered the room and I saw like Roger behind the kit with the Queen logo, and Brian's there like with the red special, and of course like the Foos are all there. Justin Hawkins was also there, and, you know, he's a big hero of mine as well. And I was just like, oh man, this is real. And yeah, my right hand like trembled a bit. I was holding the microphone and I was so embarrassed. I didn't want anyone to see. So I was kind of folding my arms in between going through the songs itself. And then the show at Wembley was just, it was incredible. You know, I don't think I will ever experience anything like that ever again. And to be honest, I don't, for obvious reasons, would never want to. But the sheer amount of waves of emotions, from tears to joy, everything in between, it was just such an incredible, incredible day to be part of. And the Queen section was right before the Foo Fighters set, which was about 14 or 15 songs, I believe. So I had to wait for the whole entire day till about 8:30 at night. And again, I was like, oh, I'm not really nervous, you know, like 2:00 in the afternoon. And then the sun started to go down. And then it really kind of hit me that I was like, gosh, I'm looking at everyone involved in this. And I'm like, these are all legitimate rock stars who have had, you know, careers that spanned over decades. And, you know, the clientele and in terms of like the rock royalty kind of really hit me. And I kind of thought, like, you know, what am I doing here? You know, and then so there was a slight bit of imposter syndrome. And I think at that moment I hit my manager up and I said, I need a couple of tequilas. So by the time I actually got on the stage and was doing the walk from backstage to the actual stage itself with Brian and Roger, I was pretty lubed up, to say the least. But it was just such an incredible experience, and I'm never going to forget it.
You know, I, early on when you and I first got to know each other, and I had you on my shows, we talked about Queen, and at that point, I had asked you if you had ever met Roger or Brian, and you had told me a story, I remember, about like you randomly like ran into Brian or something at one point. So was this like the first real experience you had with them, and, you know, in terms of getting to know them? And did you get to know them, and did they say anything to you after you performed with them? Have you been in touch with them since?
Yeah, I've actually, it's funny that you should bring up the first encounter I have with Brian, because I did bring it up, and I had the photo. I found it. And
remind people what that was, Luke, because I real briefly, like, you ran, didn't you tell me you ran into him at somewhere, like a store or something? I can't recall myself.
Yeah, so it was way back, probably it was when me and Adam, the guitar player from the Struts, were really first working with each other, and I was probably about 21 at the time, so it was quite a few years ago. And the manager that we had used to stay in Kensington at this hotel called the Royal Garden Hotel, and it's just off Kensington High Street, so you have all of these shops and whatnot. Anyway, so myself and Ad are walking to get the tube to the local train station to sort of like go to our separate homes. And like, we're walking just outside the hotel, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Brian May. And so we went up to him. I was like, I have to say something. And I said, hi, Brian. My name is Luke. I literally just wanted to tell you like how much your music means to me. And, you know, you've literally changed my life, et cetera, et cetera. And he was really gracious and really lovely. And I did say to him, I was like, is there any chance I could get a picture? And this was, I think I had some sort of flip Samsung phone with like this terrible camera on it, because it was kind of just when Apple and iPhones were kind of becoming popular. That's how long ago it was. And at first he was like, I mean, I'm here with my daughter. So, you know, would you mind if we didn't? I said, yeah, of course. It's fine. Don't worry. It was just a pleasure to meet you. And then he started asking me like, well, you know, what do you guys do? And I said, oh, we're in a band called the Struts. And we were just here having some label meetings. And he turns and he says, you know what? You seem pretty special. Like, let's do the picture. So we did. And I've actually been in touch with him for sort of separate reasons from the Taylor shows. for about half a year now. We sort of call each other every now and then and sort of, you know, catch up and whatnot. And, he called me on my birthday, which was really sweet of him, in the morning, knowing that I wasn't going to be able to attend, etc. He's a really, really nice guy. And of course, like, I'm not that close with Roger. I'd only met him during rehearsals and obviously the day of the show. But he was super sweet. And I remember running backstage after we performed. And he was like, you were amazing. Like, you absolutely killed it. And I was just like, oh, thank you so much. It's just incredible to sort of get any feedback from, you know, your idols. So it was incredible experience.
Yeah, I mean, you did a phenomenal job. And the last thing on that was, what was the song decision? Obviously, I think it was Justin Hawkins came out and sang some part of that set as well. But you opened it doing We Will Rock You, the sped up version, a slightly different arrangement of that song. But who made that decision that you were going to do that part of the Queen set?
I think it was, it was kind of out of my hands. I'm pretty sure it was between Dave and Pat, Brian and Roger. They were sort of like the main visionaries of what exactly was going to happen. And of course, like, you know, it was forever changing constantly, pretty much until about two or three days before the Wembley show. But I was so happy to have been picked to do that particular version of We Will Rock You, because I've always adored it, and I used to play it with Taylor as well. So it was really cool to be a part of.
And there's a version of you doing We Will Rock You. People can see this on the Struts website, of you just at a piano singing it, a completely different take on the song, and that's brilliant as well. So you have two completely different takes on a classic, and the way you did it at Wembley, and then, of course, the way you recorded it, just you at a piano.
Yeah, actually, there's three versions. We recorded a version for a commercial, like, years and years ago, and nothing came of it. It was kind of like it was a mixture between the original and kind of like the piano version. It kind of starts off with piano and then goes into like the full stomping We Will Rock You, as opposed to sort of like the double time fast version. But yeah, it's funny. It's funny how sometimes like songs, you know, come to you and you end up, you know, doing them a whole bunch of times. But yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy to be associated, you know, in some tiny way with one of the greatest songs of all time.
Luke, has there been any, you said you've had some dialogue with Brian since. I mean, have you guys entertained the idea of maybe working together again in some capacity?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would love to spill the beans, but, you know, spiller by name, not quite by nature at this point. But I can confirm that, yes, we have had many a creative conversations. So watch this space.
That is awesome. That, I mean, you would be a no-brainer to do that. So that would be phenomenal. And that's awesome to hear. A couple other things I want to ask you about, and then I'll let you go. I know you're in the studio there with the guys. You're doing – well, first of all, as far as the Struts are concerned – so you put out a single and a video for a new song called Fallen With Me. Is that a prelude to the record you're working on? Where are you at as far as a new album is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, it's Falling With Me in many ways is kind of has become like a bit of a reference and a nucleus for like this fourth record. And a lot of people have been asking me, you know, what are we kind of going for? And the truth is, we've done three records now, and during lockdown, I was kind of like listening a lot of what we'd done, and it's no secret that we're kind of known for sort of these huge, big, anthemic songs, you know, that are always kind of a little bit Queen-esque and a little bit kind of Stones, kind of like mixed together. So we've made like a conscious decision to try something really different, not completely left of center of what we're known for by any means, but it's definitely a bit of a new direction. And to be honest, you know, when you get to album number four, it kind of feels like you need to do that anyway. I know we do as a band because we've lived with some of these songs for, you know, a decade now. And I think that it's time that we try and master in some way, like a different area of music. So we've been working really, really hard throughout the year on and off. You know, we've obviously had to go out and hit the road and do a couple of like short tours. But now we're sort of in real recording mode for the next couple of months, and it's coming together, and it's pretty good. It's really cheeky. Like I said, it's different, but on the whole, it's still completely the Struts, you know?
Well, I mean, you guys, I've talked about this with you before. You guys walk a lot of lines. I mean, there's a lot of different things musically that goes on with the band. At the end of the day, I agree with you. It all sounds like the Struts, but you go everywhere, but from, you know, pop stuff to very grand sounding stuff to hard rock and stuff. I mean, the last album, Strange Days, one of my favorites, and I know you went in that did that very quickly, and there's some great, you know, very rockin' stuff on there. And you know, you and I have talked off the air. I remember we had a conversation. We were hanging out at the Rainbow or something, and you were saying what a big fan of Jim Steinman you were, and how you wish that one day you could have worked with Jim Steinman. Unfortunately, he's passed away, so that's never going to happen. But you like that approach too. So when you talk about all these different influences that is on the Struts music, and you talk about going into maybe a different direction with the next record, where would you say it lands? You know, where would you say what would you say when you say you're going for something different? What are you reaching for? What are you trying to do?
I'd say it's the way I describe it is, you know, I'm not a huge Talking Heads like nerd or anything, but it has like a real English like indie quirk to everything that we're doing, you know, and so it's kind of like Talking Heads like on steroids in some places, if that makes any sense. But lyrically, it's really sort of based on my experience of when we actually officially moved to LA in 2019 and just doing kind of like most foreigners do when we come to LA for the first time. It's like we get drawn in by the lights, and then all of a sudden we're found sort of in some of the darkest places in LA. And It's a record which is talking a lot about experiencing the trappings of LA and coming here for the very first time and everything that entails. So there's like a slight dark mood to it, but it's still fun, and it's still very much like party rock, if that makes any sense, you know?
And you guys have a new record deal, right? Did you sign with a new label?
Yeah, we did, which is why it's been a bit of a minute since we've been able to kind of actually get to work, because we left Interscope earlier this year, which was brilliant. You know, I think everyone between the label and the band and everyone around me is really happy and proud of what we achieved, but we just felt it was time to move on, and we've definitely landed on our feet signing with Big Machine. And Scott Bichetta, who obviously runs the label, is absolutely incredible. And the whole team is amazing. And they've really also got completely behind our vision as well, which has been really refreshing. We've turned around to them and said, look, this is kind of like where our heads are at. And this is like what we want to do. We know that we're known for X, Y, and Z, but we want to go here. And they're like, brilliant. Just let us hear stuff when we can. And it's been great. It's been really, really great.
So what are we looking at next year for the album, I imagine? Early next year, mid next year?
Yeah. We're trying to get it all done by the end of the year, and then we're going to be putting it out first quarter of next year. That's the goal. And I think I was just listening to a lot of the demos that we've got at the moment, because we're still like in the demo phase. We're not really tracking at the moment. We're just solely writing. But the things that we've got already are just really great. And I think it's going to be an amazing record.
Well, there were some songs you sent me before you decided to go in and do Strange Days. And I don't know if people realize this about the last record, but you guys went in and did that in a really unique way, where you wrote and recorded everything very quickly and very live in the studio. But prior to that, I had some songs that you had sent me that were going to be what was going to be the next record if you didn't do Strange Days. So is any of that still being knocked around, or you've moved on completely from that?
Yeah, we have. Funny enough, there's quite a few songs that are going to be on this record, which we had made pre-pandemic. And then, like you said, when we were doing Strange Days, there was talks of, you know, do we bring some of that stuff in? But with that record, we felt like it needed to be a moment in time. And that's why we decided not to include anything that we had written in 2019. But yeah, there's definitely a couple of things that will make its way onto the record for sure.
And who's producing this record? Are you guys doing it yourself, or you have a producer involved? What's the team?
It's kind of it's mainly between John Levine, who did Strange Days, and then we've been working recently with a fantastic guy called Jason D'Azuzio, who it was quite an odd pairing for us. But since working with Jason, it's just sort of really propelled us into a completely different realm, but it feels really good and it feels really, really fresh. So it's kind of between the two of them, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, you're going to be doing something in LA, which I saw just an extra night got added, where you're going to be doing Bowie songs with his keyboard player, piano player. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I noticed that Mike Garson, that's his name, was doing these evenings with, like a few months back, via kind of Instagram at the Sunrose on Sunset, which is a fantastic speakeasy-esque intimate venue. And I just said to him, I was like, look, how do I get involved? And then I ended up going to a show where Mason Alexandra Park was doing a set of his own. And they invited me up to do Under Pressure. And then pretty soon after that, we were like, let's do our own ones. And yeah, both of the shows sold out the day we put them up separately. So I can confirm that we will be announcing another two shows, which are going to be happening in early December. And it's a really hot ticket. So once we properly announce it, I would encourage everyone to buy as quickly as they can, because, yeah, we've been selling them out in a matter of like 30 to 40 minutes every time we put them up for sale. So it's going to be really great. I'm going to be doing, obviously, you know, a bunch of Bowie covers, but then I'm also going to be playing and singing some songs by people that have really inspired me throughout my musical journey, and as well as a couple of tracks that I've written and nobody's ever heard, and I will be debuting them at these shows, which I'm really looking forward to.
So the dates with Mike Garson and you doing Bowie are the two in November now are sold out. That's November 5th and November 12th. And you're going to be adding a couple then in December that'll be announced soon.
Yeah, we're going to be announcing it hopefully in the next week or so, which will be really fun.
And there's more information about that at mikegarson.com. And I hope to make one of those. And you're nice enough to invite me, which I appreciate. I definitely would love to catch one. It sounds fantastic. And what a cool setting to see that music played like that. And with you guys doing it, that'll be great.
Yeah, and it's just one of the big things that really drew me to it was like I'm obviously known for being the front man of like a rock and roll band and having like this group behind me making a lot of noise, and I think it's going to be really great. And I'm so excited to sort of be in a space where it's an intimate audience, and then having like one of the greatest piano players that I've ever been blessed with having the chance to work with, like behind me. And it's just going to showcase like my voice and performance style in a completely different way. So it's going to be a real great experience.
Hey, last thing that just hit me before I let you go. Do you bowl?
I do. I lawn bowl. English lawn bowls.
What does that mean?
It's a sport which was invented in the UK, and it's quite popular in Australia as well, and a bit in Japan. But it's primarily a sport that a lot of, you know, people who are retired normally play, but I took it up when I was in the UK during lockdown, and of course, you know, I don't work a 9-to-5, so I was free to play about 4 or 5 times a week with my local bowls team in Dawlish in Devon, and it's really good fun. They actually have a couple of bowling greens here in LA, one in Holmby Park in Beverly Hills, and I think there's one in Glendale somewhere, but I've been so busy I haven't been able to get the kit on and get the woods out and start bowling again. But
yeah, is it like bowling in a lane, but you're doing it on the lawn?
Yeah, you have a little white ball called the jack, which you bowl out, and it's set. And then you have these bowls, or woods as they're called in the sport. And depending on which side you throw them, well, you bowl them with, as they slow down, they sort of curve either left or right, depending on which side of the wood that you use. And the aim of the game is to get as many of the woods, your own woods, as close to the jack as possible. So
it sounds like bocce. It sounds like the Italian game, bocce. It sounds like the same thing if you've ever played that.
Yeah, it is. It's similar to that, but I think that's played on sand, if I'm not
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but this is on a green which has really short grass, almost like a putting green kind of feel to it. And it's just really, really fun.
The reason I'm asking you this is because I'm looking at these dates, and you're doing the second one is the 12th that you're doing in L.A. And, you know, every year I host and participate in a bowling, traditional bowling on the lane, throwing the ball at the pins. But I do a bowling event, and all the money we raise money for the Dio Cancer Fund in the name of Ronnie James Dio, and money for the cancer fund that was started in his name to help those with cancer. It's a big event. We do it in Studio City. We haven't done it the last couple of years because of COVID, but in the past, my bowling team has had Dave Grohl's bowled with me, our friend Brent Woods, all these guys have bowled. Geezer Butler has bowled with me. So I'm going to start putting my team together, and it doesn't matter if you're good at bowling or not. That's not the point. But if you're in town, I want to try to enlist you for my team.
I'm in, mate.
And at best, it's a lot of, you're going to know a ton of people there. We have a great time. So I'm going to put you, I'll text you about it with more details, but I'm going to pencil you in for a slot on my team, and we're going to initiate you into our bowling league.
Fantastic. I'll bring my, Gucci bowling glove with me as well.
And there's plenty of beverages, so you don't have to worry about how good you bowl. It's more about the fun and the cause.
Brilliant. I mean, if I can get that in writing so there's no team squabbling, you know, when I play terribly, that would be fantastic.
Well, there have been protests filed in the past because of people making accusations of cheating or somebody having an extra person on their team, but it's all in good fun and it's all to raise money for a great cause. So I'll send you more information and I'll hold you a spot on the team. We'll have some fun.
Yeah. What date is that exactly?
17th of November. And what I'm thinking is if I could get out early, maybe I could make your show on the 12th and then just hang out. Now, I've got a home in Vegas now, so I'm close. I can get in and out pretty quickly. So maybe we'll sort something out where I can catch your show and then we can do the bowling a few nights later.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Absolutely.
All right, man. Well, listen, I'll let you get back to making music. Send my best to the rest of the guys. It's good to catch up with you. Keep us posted on how the record's going, and I'll see you and talk to you soon.
All right, mate. Thanks for having me, and amazing to talk as usual.
Anytime, man. Talk to you soon, Luke.
Meet you in a bit. Bye.
Well, always good to visit with Luke. He's got a lot going on. Looking forward to new Struts music coming soon as well. That should be great. And we'll keep an eye and keep tabs on everything he's got cooking. He's also going to be on my bowling team, by the way, which is coming up November 17th for the Dio Cancer Fund at Pins in Studio City. As you heard, I did recruit him, and he is on the team, and so is Tom Morello. So we're starting to put together a killer all-star team. I'm going to be auctioning off a spot to bowl on that team. Keep an eye on my social media, at Eddie Trunk, for info on that. You might be able to join us.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I made the charcoal mask! Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
Got another interview for you this week on the podcast. This was kind of spontaneous and happened the same day as the interview you just heard with Luke Spiller. Jeff Keith, lead singer of Tesla, a good buddy, as the whole band are, and I'm a huge fan of the band. It was Jeff's birthday. I texted him a happy birthday message. We went back and forth on text. I said, hey, you want to call in and say hi to the fans? We'd love to have you. And here's how that conversation went. Like a fine wine, he gets better with age. It is his birthday today. I'm not going to sing to him because I can't sing. He can sing to himself because he's got a great voice. I would never do that to him and torture him on his birthday. But a big happy birthday to one of my favorite people from one of my favorite bands, lead singer of Tesla, JK, Jeff Keith. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you very much, my dear friend, Eddie Trunk.
How you feeling today? Are you 64 today?
64 years young.
How the hell did that happen, Jeff?
Well, time flies. So do birthdays.
It felt like just yesterday I saw you on MTV singing Modern Day Cowboy on the Countdown show. This young, wiry guy singing this song, and you're 64. That's crazy. How do you feel, man?
I feel great, man. I feel great, and appreciate all the birthday wishes, and just feeling great, man. Just going to get to spend a little family time with a nice birthday dinner and enjoying life.
So how was the most recent tour? You just got done doing a bunch of dates. How'd that all go?
That all went great, and unfortunately, I apologize to the Lubbock, Texas fans, because I just kind of had a little dry spell, and we had to postpone that show or cancel it until next year, so I apologize for that, but the rest of the tour just went fantastic.
What do you mean by dry spell? You had an issue with your voice?
Yeah, it just went to the doctor, wasn't like swollen, you know, vocal cords. Like sometimes you can overwork things and they get swollen, but it was just like, just dry. It just dried up. And it's like going to the well for a bucket of water and there's no water. So just dried up. And it just makes it almost impossible to sing.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but over the course of your career, you every time I've ever seen you, you always sounded great and you always sang well. But you haven't had a huge history of vocal problems in your career, have you?
No. But there's been a few incidents where, because of like swollen vocal cords, overdoing it and stuff, that, you know, I might have had to postpone some shows or something. But this was just a dry spell. I don't know what, for whatever reason, you're going through all these different environments and stuff and the elements, and I just dried up and wasn't able to sing that show. But like I said, then the rest of them went fine. So, you know, we'll just have to do a makeup date and make it up to Lubbock, Texas. But other than that, everything went fantastic.
You got two really good new songs out there. I've been playing them for my audience every week. Cold Blue Steel came out first, and then more recently, Time to Rock. Were you working them into the live set?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We were playing them in the live, you know, in the live set. And people, we got great responses, and we appreciate you doing all the spins for us, Eddie. We appreciate that very much. And people are loving it, and we're the kind of band that we like to write new songs, and we're having fun with it, and the people are enjoying it, and everything's great.
Well, you put out these two singles. Is the idea, are you guys working towards a full record at some point? I mean, how far down the road are you for an album?
I believe that's the idea, but I guess these days you can just release the singles, you know, online or however it works with the internet, and then once we get up enough songs and write some more songs, we'll put out a new record.
Have you written anything beyond these two songs yet, or just these two for now?
Just these two for now, but we got another one that we're working up, and we've got it in the demo form, and in the next couple months, we'll probably work it up and maybe be releasing that as well before we start back up in January.
Yeah, I was looking at the website, and you guys are pretty much done for the year now as far as touring, right?
Yeah, I think January is the next. The next shows are in January.
So you got a date in January.
For the holidays.
Yeah, you got a date in January in Florida, but then the other really cool thing that I was really excited to see, because I don't know if I told you this, but I have a second home in Vegas now. And I'm there part-time, and you guys are going to do a residency in Vegas, 5 shows in March at the House of Blues. Tell me about that.
Yeah. It's our first time to do the residency thing, and I've heard all about it. I don't know too much about it, but like you said, it's 5 shows in Vegas over a week and a half, and, you know, pretty excited to try out something new like that.
I mean, the nice thing about that for artists is that the fans come to you and do the traveling instead of you having to do the travel. So you can, I mean, I just saw Aerosmith a couple times in Vegas because they're doing it right now at a theater called Park MGM. And it was funny because one of the nights that I left the show, I was leaving and their tour manager texted me and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, I'm going back, you know, going wherever I was going. And he said, "Yeah." He goes, the band's already gone because they can. If you're in a casino, you can literally come off stage, take the elevator. You can be in your room before the house lights go up. So that's something appealing to a lot of artists because you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay right in the hotel and you can get right to your room. Like there's no travel involved.
Right. Well, you know, for me, when it was brought up, I was like, oh, I don't know, you know, how this would be like being in the same city for 5 shows. But the first time we did, you know, before we came out with the acoustic record, we did a show at Slim's in San Francisco, and we did 2 sets in one night, and which was a little bit odd for someone like me. But this is where it's just one show and then maybe a night off, do another show. So, you know, pretty interested to see how it works, but excited about it. But it's still a little feels a little odd to me to be in one town for 5 nights, but I'm sure it's going to be great. Sure, I've heard people are really loving it, and hopefully it works out well for Tesla.
It is great, and it's obviously it's a great city with a ton of things to do, so you're not going to be bored, that's for sure. I'll come pick you up. Right. We can get into all kinds of trouble in that town, Jeff. We could do all kinds of fun things.
Well, Eddie, when we get in trouble, we get in big trouble, so we'll have to put a set a bar.
I'm looking at the schedule, and there's 3 days off between gigs. So, man, you could do a lot. You could really get lost in Vegas in those 3 days, or you could go home. You're close enough. You could go home if you want for those 3 days.
No, I'll probably stay there, maybe go out to dinner with you or something.
Yeah, we can do that. You can come out to the house. We barbecue, whatever you want to do. We could throw the football around, whatever you want to do. You guys know you're always welcome.
See, that sounds great. That doesn't sound like we'd get in too much trouble doing that.
No. Do you think you'll change the set list up doing 5 nights? You know the way Tesla fans are. They'll probably definitely come to more than one show in a row. Have you thought about that yet, as far as maybe changing stuff up night to night, being in the same place for 5 days?
Yeah, I'm sure we will, Eddie. I'm sure we will. I would think so. But like I said, I don't know how these things work, but I know there will be people coming to multiple shows. So I would think we would change the setup, you know, the set list. So, yeah, I would think so, and which will be exciting for the people. And hopefully it won't be where somebody comes where they're just coming for one show and they go, well, I wanted to hear that song you played last night or you're going to play tomorrow night. I don't know how that stuff works, but I'm sure it's going to be a great experience.
Yeah, and of course you're back on the Monsters of Rock cruise, which you guys headline pretty much like every other year, so that'll be fun. We always have a great time on that. That's sailing April 29th from Port Canaveral, Florida, so I know you always have a great time on that cruise, and you're always out there with the fans and hanging out with everybody and watching the bands and playing pool and doing whatever you do. You're not one of those guys that hides. People ask me all the time, like, hey, how can we meet this guy or that guy on the ship if we go? And I'm like, well, some of these guys are pretty scarce, but when it comes to people asking me about you, I'm like, I don't know, you'll probably just run into them somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I'm a little social butterfly. You know how I am. I love the people. I love the fans, and they love it too, and I love mixing with them. So I'm sure I will be my usual social butterfly fluttering around.
Did you ever think when you started with Tesla that here we would be, you'd be 64 years old, it would be 2022, and we'd be talking about Vegas residencies and cruises and all this great stuff you have coming up?
Never thought about it at all. As a matter of fact, I'm a small town boy. I never thought I'd be in a band, period. So, you know, it's awesome how things work out. And we're so grateful for it, you know.
And you feel good. Like, you don't feel like you're going to slow down anytime soon. You're in this. Like, we're not going to hear about any Jeff Keith retirement or Tesla farewell tour or anything like that, right?
No, as long as the voice is holding up and we're having fun with it, those are the main ingredient is we're having fun. We're still having fun. As long as we're having fun, we're going to do it till we can't do it anymore. And
yeah, you know,
that'll be a long time to come.
Yeah, I hope so too. You know, I was looking at the band's Wikipedia page, and you know, I didn't even know this, that when you look at the amount of people there, there were a lot of people in Tesla at different points. Have you ever looked at the Wikipedia for Tesla?
No, I haven't, man. I am just like this old school dinosaur, and I don't really go on the internet, and I should, because there's a lot of great people on there. But man, back when MySpace or something was up, or I said some little comment about how I loved, you know, how the people were in, like, say, Iowa, and two people in Illinois went, well, that hurts my feelings. And I went, you know what? I'm just not built for this kind of stuff. And because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings or anything. So I really don't do that. And the other guys do. They keep up with it. And we have people helping us run all that stuff. So I just keep it simple to hand me the microphone and give me a chance to write some words to a melody, to some riffs that the guys come up with, and we put songs together. And that's just my niche in life. So I just don't do the internet thing because I don't even know how to log into something.
I got to tell you, though, listening to you say that, it's really refreshing because I'm envious. I wish I could be like that. I kind of have to be the opposite because of what I do. But I think it's very smart what you just said. If I had the option to be like that and not be in that social media world, because you're right, there's a lot of great people on there, but there's a lot of trolls and there's a lot of haters and there's a lot of people that make things up. So if you can check out of it and just the way you have, I mean, I think that's awesome, actually.
Yeah, it worked out well for me. And the other guys, they handle all that kind of stuff. And so they just let me stick to just hand me the microphone phone and point me to stage and like in Europe, don't go to the other side of the stage with my mic when you introduce me.
That's a story that'll never die, isn't it?
I barely made it to you to come in for the first lyrics.
I stole Jeff. For people that don't know, I stole Jeff's mic. I took Jeff's mic to introduce the band once. And it, usually when they give me a mic, it's like an extra mic, but it actually was the mic Jeff used to sing. And it was in England. And I walked all the way off the back of this giant stage and Jeff comes running
so
up to me.
You went to stage right and I'm over waiting on stage left for the microphone. So I had to run across the stage to stage right to get the mic. But it was classic, Eddie.
It's a story that'll never die. It's a classic. But the reason I was bringing up the internet is, I don't even know if you know what Wikipedia is. Do you know what it is?
I know Wikipedia is sort of like an encyclopedia for things or something on the internet.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's like an encyclopedia to look stuff up on the internet. The thing is, you got to be careful with it, though, because anybody can go in and change stuff and edit it. So it's not always entirely accurate. But the reason why I bring it up is I pulled up the Wikipedia for Tesla because I wanted to see how old you were today for your birthday. And it lists past members of the band, and it's got like 10 people listed that were in Tesla at one point. Was that before your time or like when you were the singer in the band? I'm seeing people like Steve Klossman, Bobby Contreras, Colin Loyal, Brooke Bright. Who are these people?
Brooke Bright. Well, those are original members of City Kid. But I've been in the band since City Kid in 83. And then, of course, we came out in 86, changed the name to Tesla. So they're listing everything. And I know somebody brought it to my attention. They said, you should check out something that's sort of like the Encyclopedia of Arkansas. And I started reading into it. And it said, you know, Jeff Keith moved from here, did this, did that. And then it said, and then he moved to Douglasville, Georgia or something and graduated high school. I graduated high school from Idabel Gray High School. That's in Idabel, Oklahoma. So some things on there, I don't know where they're getting their information, but they get it a little mixed up. So,
yeah.
But this, a lot of the names that you're naming, they were part of City Kid, so they're going all the way back to the start.
Yeah, they're listing. There's I just counted a total of 12 names outside of the current lineup of the band that have been part of it. Curtis Chapman, Stefano Pasta, Tommy Armstrong, Leave It. I mean, there's a lot of people here, and I'm like, damn, I know Tesla inside out. I don't know these guys.
Well, Tommy Armstrong, he came in to have to fill in, I think, I can't remember, but we've had a couple people come in like to fill in for a couple shows, and everybody but me has been filled in, but just for a couple shows when somebody couldn't make it or had, you know, a family crisis or something. But so they're naming those people also. So I wouldn't, you know, once again, the internet might post it as they were members of the band, but they were just filling in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's interesting, though. What about the guy that you told me about that you called the walking radio that could sing anything? Yeah. Is he listed in here?
We still don't know that guy. We don't know who it is. And when I joined a band, come from Georgetown, a little, you know, 900 population. And when the band City Kid, I auditioned, they had me in the band. And then a week later, came along with this guy that was a walking radio, because I didn't know Top 40. There was no radio station that reached Georgetown, and I didn't know nothing about Top 40. So I was like, well, I can't compete against that. And he was nicknamed the Walking Radio. So I couldn't compete with the Walking Radio. But a week later, less than a week later, the band called me back, said, hey, just keep coming to vocal lessons. And as soon as you learn all the songs, the Walking Radio is going to walk. And he walked out the door, and we don't even know who it is to this day. We quit trying to figure out who it was. We have no idea who it was.
I would love to have seen Wikipedia just list as a past member Walking Radio. That would have been the best.
Well, we would love it, too. That way, because we always wondered, who was this guy? But he walked in and then walked out a week later.
All right. Well, listen, I'll let you go. I wanted to just wish you a happy birthday. What's the celebration today? Are you on the farm? What are you doing? Are you, what's your favorite dinner? What are you going to have for your birthday today?
Oh, just going to have a nice little family dinner with the family here at home, and just low key, and my phone's blowing up. So I'm just trying to answer all the texts, and people are all wishing me a happy birthday, and I just love them for it. I just appreciate everybody wishing me a happy birthday, and I thank everybody so much.
And what are you going to do for the rest of the
too.
Year? Are you going to work on a record, or are you going to work around the house, or what's you're off now for the rest of the year? What are you going to do?
Oh, well, we'll get together, and I know one demo that me and Frank had worked on here a few months back. We're going to maybe try to work that up, but just enjoy some holidays at home with the family, and because we had a very busy summer, and it's good to, just be enjoying some family time, and probably, like I said, work on some music too, and be ready to come out, swinging in January.
All right, man. Sounds like a plan. Well, just wanted to say hello, and I told the audience this was very last minute, but I texted you for your birthday, and I said, let me check in with Jeff. I know the Vegas stuff was announced, and I'm sure the fans always love to hear from you, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes, and happy birthday, brother.
Hey, thanks, Eddie, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate you letting me come on, and thanks to everybody and all your listeners and everybody that thanks for the happy birthday wishes. I really, really appreciate it.
Enjoy the day, man. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Eddie. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, bud. Talk to you soon. Best of the family.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Always good to talk to JK. That, of course, the one and only Jeff Keith and Tesla, who are still out there. A couple new songs out there right now as well. And seemingly always on tour. And thanks to Luke Spiller for joining us earlier as well from The Strut. So you got two singers, two front men there. One that started in terms of recorded history in the mid-80s, and Luke, who started not even 10 years ago. So two different ends of the rock spectrum there, but both fantastic singers and frontmen. Thank you for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New episodes every Thursday. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss one. And remember, all the interviews, again, come from my radio show, Trunk Nation, which is heard live Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, on Faction Talk, that's Sirius XM channel 103, or anytime you want on the Sirius XM app. Please be sure to subscribe and join me every day for rock talk and interviews on Trunk Nation if you're in the U.S. or Canada. We'll see you guys on the radio and next Thursday back here for another episode of the podcast. Have a good week.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.